stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We have the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and you are listening to the Doug and Dave Intel Report with my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton. And we're going to be talking about a potpourri of things that threaten the very existence of America. But first, I got kind of... No. Doug, let's stick to the big geopolitics. Anyway, that's what we're going to hit here. Got to take care of a little business, first of all. Another train derailment. And they said, toxic chemicals, no harm, no foul. And I looked at the TV report out of Minnesota. And, spilled these toxic chemicals over agriculture. No harm, no foul. And this is one more attack upon the food supply. Ladies and gentlemen, you need storable food. Otherwise, you're going to be in a Biden food line. If we go to war, which is a real possibility, they'll ration the food. World War One, World War Two, precedent set. And do you think this administration cares of whether you eat or not? So you need storable food right now. Right now, My Patriot Supply has a great deal, $200 off the 12-week special. People say, well, I want to take your advice, Dave, and get 2 years' worth. Okay, you can do that. 2 years' worth, order in three-month increments. You'll get the savings all the way through. 25-year shelf life, restaurant quality. Go to preparewithdave.com. Preparewithdave.com. And banking. You think the banks are solvent? You're not paying attention. Since you are paying attention, you know the banks aren't solvent. The Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says they can take your retirement if it's connected to the bank. They can take your bank accounts. Noble Gold can save you from this misery. I have been an advertiser for 6 years. I've been a customer for 5 years. Now, I have to give you this disclaimer, and I'll come back to what Noble Gold will do for you. The federal government wants me to tell you, unfortunately, they didn't do this with FTX, that any investment's inherently risky, and past performance is no guarantee of future performance. I agree with the disclaimer. I just wish it was applied universally. But there's a reason why I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 5 years. I put my money where my mouth is. I don't trust the banks. I get as much out of the bank as I can. And gold, silver, palladium, platinum, they're about retaining wealth. People say, well, you can't spend a gold coin. That's not the point. You're protecting your wealth at that point, protecting it. Okay, and see that, I want to send you an information package electronically. Noble Gold will not bug you. You'll have the number on there. You can call them, and you can say, okay, I have some questions, or you want to get started. All right, but they will explain it all to you. This packet's very informative. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a potpourri of things, and I want to get Doug's reaction to this today. I was going through old articles today, the two-part question here, Doug. One was, I went over Louisville, Los Angeles, and I can't remember the third location off the top of my head, where Chinese weapons were found, Chinese weapons parts. And this was in 2019, 2020, and the country was distracted by COVID and then by later things. And we never gave this the attention it was due. And when you find Chinese weapons caches coming into America, ATF was involved and they acted like, no big deal. There's no problem here. Nothing to see. Move along, please. That's one part. And then the other part, Doug, as I told you before we went on the air, I watched a video today, a Chinese training video that's released, and they were running a simulated bombing run on Guam. So let me get your reaction to what you're seeing there, or hearing from me.
Well, Guam won't be the only problem. Australia, actually, because of this new Chinese threat, has now almost doubled their military budget. And they are buying quite a lot of hardware now from America and from Great Britain. And, you know, for the longest time, Australia considered themselves to be very well protected. Geopolitically, I guess you could say, because of the distance between Australia and all the other major countries with conflict in it. But because Australia is just south of China, once you start going down all those Pacific islands, they're now right in the crosshairs. And China was getting a lot of its iron ore from Australia. Australia has one of the biggest iron ore mining companies and processing facilities in the world. And so where China was getting its steel, the iron ore for its steel, was Australia. Now they're having boycotts against a lot of Australia's goods. So they're trying to hurt the economy in order to pressure them to not do dealings with America. So it's strange. I didn't see this coming. But Australia is actually siding for right now with America and Great Britain. I would have thought, because of all the influence in Australia and the amount of communism that's in Australia now, that they would have politically aligned with America and the rest of the allies, you would say. But, you know, financially, they would still hearken towards the call of China. But apparently they're not. So, hey, good on them. We'll see how long that lasts. The threat from China is real. We have an article from the Daily Caller. Says that blood is thicker than water. China's new ambassador calls on Chinese compatriots in the U.S. to serve the motherland. Recall, if you will, that Germany did the same thing prior to announcing official war upon America. All right, so this is what the article says. China's new ambassador to the United States called on fellow compatriots and Chinese students in the U.S. to work with the Chinese embassy, according to two open letters published by China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Tuesday. On his first day in office, Ambassador Xi Feng asked for the support of Chinese compatriots in the U.S. and also urged that Chinese students of the U.S. to serve the motherland, according to two open letters written in English on the Chinese embassy's website. Xi called on both groups to serve as bridges between the U.S. and China to improve flailing bilateral relations. Blood is thicker than water, Xi's open letter said to fellow compatriots. Your support, involvement, and contribution would be most valuable. You know what that really says to me is we want you to spy for us. We want you to steal intellectual property for us. We want you to assassinate for us, and when we get there, we want you to join us. That's what that really is.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question on this, though. We know that the Chinese constitute one of the biggest groups coming into the country, young males of fighting age, unaccompanied by females or children. Clearly, they're fifth column forces. I suppose since there are 14 million Chinese here, maybe they get 10%. And that would be formidable, but the Chinese really don't even need them.
No, they don't, but don't forget, China said that they are creating a biological weapon that would not kill people of Chinese descent.
Yeah, I reported on that. That was the Weifang leaked speech to the Central Planning Committee of the Communist Chinese Party, 2017. People like John Moore and I were leaked the original copy, and I broke it down part by part. You're absolutely right. And guess what country the Chinese worked with to develop that weapon? Do you know?
Israel.
Israel, yeah. Are you surprised at that? I was.
No, I'm not surprised. You know, Israel's the apple of God's eye, but the people are very wayward. And even though Israel's the apple of God's eye, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, not a corrupt government or a corrupt country, and doesn't mean that, you know, their politicians like ours didn't sell military secrets to China like ours did, like the Clintons did and the Obamas did. So I'm not surprised. Oh, and the Bidens currently. Let's go a step further. Let's reverse the roles. Let's say America reaches out to China and people of American descent in China, and they say the same thing. Blood's thicker than water. We want you to join us.
I know the answer. I'm way ahead of you.
China would immediately start rounding people up.
They would execute every one of them.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, and recently the FBI has actually prosecuted two Chinese spies that were in New York. They were part of the I guess you could, how would you say this? The Chinese secret police department that was in New York, you know, where you'd go and tattle on somebody if they were talking bad about the motherland. So, you know, this is probably really widespread. And we, and Dave and I have covered this before, but I'll say it again. 33 Republicans, we're not even talking about Democrats, but Republicans, former Republicans, to include John Boehner, the former Speaker of the House, are all getting paid by China as lobbyists. So we've whored ourselves out. China's taking advantage of it. This is the most weak our military has ever been, which I think that's why we're going to take this large leap forward with artificial intelligence and autonomous vehicles, which that's not good. If you haven't heard recently, the Air Force actually said that they, in a simulation, lost control of one of their drones. I believe it was a Predator drone or a Reaper drone. And that the autonomous vehicle, the AI that was driving the vehicle, flying the drone, actually turned the drone around, doubled back, and then fired upon and killed the operator of the drone. So, yeah, that's not
true. What do you make of that? What do you make of that, though, honestly?
I don't know. How does that happen in a simulation? How does that happen?
Maybe, that was the unannounced simulation unknown to the drone operator.
Yeah, you better hope so. In a simulation, you have the ability to control variables. So I know that we use AI for simulations. When I was in DHS, I used AI for some of the physical security measures that we would take on very high-profile buildings, like level 4, level 3 buildings. Actually, part of our physical security, computer program, was driven by AI to count all the different types of variables for dangers towards federal entities, employees, and, you know, it was driven by data, right? That's what AI has done. It's driven by data. But how is, if AI is driven by data, how does AI then turn itself upon its own user? That means AI, at that point in time, was either, let's go ahead and say it, thinking for itself.
Yeah, that's got to be a consideration. I've thought the same thing, but also we can't mistake the fact that this could have been part of the simulation plan too.
That's right. Well, so supposedly from my investigation of this so far, we are not there yet with sentient AI, nor would we allow sentient AI. This is what the Pentagon says, so take that for what it's worth. Which, by the way, you'll all be thankful. The Pentagon just recently, today, canceled the Drag Queen Story Hour show that was going to be held at the Pentagon.
Was that Matt Gaetz that got that done?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. At the Pentagon? Seriously, guys? So, look, I don't trust
it. They got to get their jollies. Come on, hey. They got Lloyd Austin. He's got to be entertained, you know. Who knows what his
proclivities are. Millie's probably out there, you know, dressing up as a flapper girl.
No, they'd have Chinese though.
You know, the AI thing's out of control. The Air Force is actually about to launch the first ever autonomous vehicle that will be a wingman. So an artificially intelligent driven plane with weapons that will be the wingman for a pilot. I don't know that I trust that. But, you know, I mean, I wonder, do you think the pilots ever get asked this question? Hey, what do you think if, you know, your wingman was a AI robot? Oh, by the way.
They'd say no.
Yeah, disregard the AI robot drone that, you know, killed the guy who was operating it. Yeah, I would be terrified in the air with something.
They would
like
say,
that.
I guarantee you, they would say no, because there's a bond between warriors. You know that better than I do. And they'd say no. The other thing is too. Let me go conspiratorial on you, Doug. If they're going to put, first of all, you have a drone that just killed the operator. Now you want to put a wing operator, okay, next to a pilot, highly trained, expensive training, expensive piece of equipment, and Biden loves China. Would you trust that scenario if you were a pilot going to war against China?
No, and, you know, the pilots are, they're a unique group of guys and gals. They are warriors to their own. They have their own thing. Really cool history about pilots. They really kind of step outside the bounds of, you know, normality for most of the military members, because since, you know, World War One, we've been using aircraft in war, and they just, you know, they have their own unique style of everything that they do. So it's really cool when you look at that. And so because of that, kind of like the submariners, you know, they themselves are a creation, a monster amongst themselves. And I just see them having more autonomy for what they're doing and having more of a say for what they're doing. But, you know, I mean, if the big guys in the Pentagon say, hey, no, you will have an AI drone as a wingman, what can you do about it? Nothing. It'll happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Unless, like we did with some equipment in Iraq that they gave us that we didn't trust too much, it just kept malfunctioning after we would drop it off a roof a couple times. So, you know, I mean, it all depends. God forbid, you know, here's one thing that you could imagine AI as an airplane AI to do. If that one suicide nuclear strike had to happen on Moscow, and, you know, all the pilots around you say, nope, we're not doing that. That's World War III. We're not doing that. Okay, well, we'll put it on the AI drone, program it, and then it will do it. There's your problem around the human. There's your solution around the human problem. And right. I say that because currently we are given autonomous vehicles powered by AI to Ukraine. A crap load. And it's being used in Russian territory in fire missions against the Russians. So in a sense, we are quasi-attacking Russia through our proxies, Ukraine. You know, we blame Iran for mobilizing, financing, and weaponizing the Houthi rebels, right? But, and we'll do drone strikes on them all day long. We'll sanction Iran for it, and every you know, CIA guy and his mother will come out and say, look how bad Iran is. But we're literally doing the same thing to the Ukrainians. But because it's big bad Russia, well, we're in the right and they're in the wrong. And I'll be the first one to say it. We're in the wrong in this war. We're picking a fight that we don't need to be picking.
We have no treaty obligation here whatsoever, no. And we're stripping our own military of national defense materials we need in sending to Ukraine. There's no accountability for the money, for the weapons. We're paying their social security over there. I mean, what the hell is that about?
We're paying teachers, cops, lawyers, everybody. But here in America, many of you listening, within the last, unfortunately, 3 years, have lost your jobs because of COVID. Did you ever get paid to go back to work? Did you ever get paid not to go to work? Yeah, I mean, we don't have a system of fairness here in America, but yet the damn Democrats will say, you know, fair, honest, and balanced. That's what they like to say. But let's stay on Ukraine for just a second. Medvedev, all right, from Russia, said that Russia will strike a preemptive blow on Ukraine should the West go too far. All right, this article is coming from Pravda.ru. The West does not realize that Russia will have to strike a preemptive blow on Ukraine should the West supply nuclear weapons to Ukraine, Deputy Chairman of the Security Council of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, told reporters during a visit to Vietnam. NATO countries do not fully realize the likelihood of such an outcome, Medvedev said, adding that such a development could be possible under certain conditions. Medvedev earlier said that the conflict in Ukraine could escalate into another world war if Western regions of Ukraine come under EU's control, and eastern ones under that of Russia. The rest of the state will express a desire to join the EU and NATO. Under such circumstances, the risk of a third world war to break out will increase significantly. Meanwhile, Sergei Rybakov, deputy foreign minister of Russia, said that unfriendly countries continue speculating on the topic of the use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine. However, Moscow has no intention to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine. There have been no changes, is what he says. There have been no changes in an approach to this complex and worrying issue for many. And then what happens? We have a few different drone strikes that happen via Ukraine into Russia. And so Russia moves ahead with the deployment of tactical nukes into Belarus. Russia last Thursday, I believe, the 25th, had a plan to deploy tactical nuclear weapons into Belarus. And, you know, the Kremlin's, this is like the Kremlin's first time deploying these bombs outside of Russia since 1991. So this is a big deal. All right. And they didn't send, you know, they didn't send nukes over there that aren't live. They're live weapons. Live weapons. And yet we're sitting here playing this cat and mouse game with Russia, and we're like, well, you know, we're gonna use through our proxies, we're gonna use nuclear weapons to be sent into Kiev. And the Russians keep saying, Dave, the moment you do that, we are gonna strike Kiev. We are going to hit whatever country sent it. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's not being talked about. And the war that's going on there is not going well for anybody. I mean, just listen to this tally, all right? If you aren't familiar with the city of Bakhmut, which is on the eastern fringes right there on the border of Russia and Ukraine, it was a huge battle. The founder of the PMC Wagner Group said in an interview that his company recruited as many as 50,000 prisoners, of which 20% were killed in battles, and that those losses among contracted forces were similar. As for the armed forces of Ukraine, they lost as many as 50,000 soldiers. So let's count this real quick. They lost about 20,000 prisoners and then about 20,000 contractors. So there's 40,000. And then Ukraine lost about 50,000 soldiers. So if this estimation is right, just for the Battle of Bakhmut, they lost around 90,000 people. 90,000 people. This is – so I've been talking about this recently on my podcast on American Vindicta, that it's hard for some people to comprehend war because you've never been there, and that's understandable. But – it is hard for me to comprehend in modern warfare today losing 90,000 men in a month or two. I mean, that is non-stop fighting, bombing, artillery shelling.
What are the losses of each side relative to each other?
Similar. It was almost a 50-50.
So Russia's basically fighting a war of attrition.
Yes, both are. Both on. You know, about 2 months ago, an estimation was given by the top general for Ukraine that says that they have lost around 500,000 fighting men and women since February when the war began. 500,000.
Yeah. Do you know that I don't mean to say it that way, but we lost 600,000 in World War II. That's we're talking some real serious numbers now.
Yeah, this is a look. This isn't a conflict. This isn't a territorial dispute. This is a no joke war, and the Russian soldiers that are dying they're dying because our money is paying for them to die. They're dying because our bombs, our rockets, our tanks, our guns, our helicopters, our planes, whatever in the hell we've sent over there, our drones, obviously, are being used to kill them. So if Russia wanted to say, America, you are absolutely a part of this war, they would be right to say that. They would be right to say it. And we are instigating World War III. And now we're in Serbia. America is in Kosovo. We've recently taken over a Serbian embassy in Kosovo. So far, it's been reported that four of our soldiers were standing guard outside of the embassy. I don't exactly know what happened or why it happened, but they were apparently in some sort of a firefight. Four of them got shot. All four are alive, thank God. But why are they in Kosovo? Why are we slowly surrounding the western and southern flanks of Russia? We're getting ready to invade Russia. Biden's administration this week said that Ukraine is no longer about protecting Ukraine and the Ukrainian people. It's about regime change.
Yeah, and they lied about it, because remember, Biden said that in a meeting, in a press conference. You and I have said this since the beginning.
Yeah, you and exactly. I have said this since the beginning. This is about regime change.
They lied. Because remember, Biden got corrected. Do you remember this?
Yep.
Here's the thing I'm going to say to you, Doug. Just three words: Hannibal, Napoleon, and Hitler. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Good luck.
Russia cannot be invaded by land.
Well, and here's the thing. Russia immediately outnumbers everybody on the battlefield. If Russia is willing to dump its prisons and arm its prisoners, they've already, even though that's not a high tactical advantage, they did that in World War II. That's still, men with guns in their hands. So besides that, we have to immediately respond. If we go to invade, we have to immediately respond to their air supremacy. They will have air supremacy. They have land-to-air supremacy for their rockets. They have already all the dug-in improvements for any artillery strikes for their tanks. They have rail cars, and this is very important logistically. They have rail cars that can send troops, that can send all the logistical needs for a fighting military from the eastern side of Russia to the western side of Russia. So they can immediately be backing up forces, load them up on trains, send them out. And I wonder if we invade Russia. Now let's actually talk about this, because we hypothetically bring it up. But if we invade Russia, we are going to kill Putin. It's going to be just like Gaddafi. It's going to be just like Bashar al-Assad, just like Saddam Hussein. We are going to have a kill or capture for Putin. Most likely, it's going to be a kill. So if we're trying to kill the number one ally for China, will China get involved, or will they sit it out? What do you think?
Oh, that'll be their excuse to get involved. Of course they're going to get involved. They don't care if they lose half a billion people. It doesn't matter to them as long as they get their objectives met. The one thing I would say, too, about this whole situation, our administration is deliberately treasonous. They know we can't win in Russia. They know it'll be a disaster for our military, and it's just setting up for the Chinese to walk in unopposed.
I think the moment we go to invade, I mean, you got to understand that the first groups that are going to be doing the invasion, you may have a small contingent led by American forces, but this is going to be primarily a lift from the European forces. Mm-hmm. It's going to be heavy aerial bombardment, a lot of rocket strikes, And the moment any of our rockets, as allies, the moment we start launching into Russia, Russia is going to have such a response that they are going to target everybody. everybody's already on a target. And we're not talking about nukes yet. We're talking about all the other different types of rocket-propelled artillery that they'll have.
Okay, so your death toll, if this goes global, I've read, will be 4 to 5 billion. Janelle, I'll give you another figure here, and it seems like I'm jumping off track, but I'm not, because I'm going to come to a point. A military expert, and he's a friend of a friend, and he's being published now. He's quoted. He warns 600 million people have been killed or injured by COVID vaccines. Now, let me tie the two together. This is all about depopulation.
Yeah, I can see that.
And if you don't think that's true, people, okay, what does this government support? Heterosexuals? Family members? No. Christians? No. America first? No. America last is what they are. But what do they support? Trans, gay, lesbian. What do they all have in common? What they have in common is they don't reproduce. It's a depopulation agenda all the way through, from social cultural Maoist revolution to World War III, to COVID vaccines, and then coming on board will be 5G. It's all about depopulation, Doug.
Well, and we have some serious weapons that are going to be used in this type of war. Yeah, we've mentioned the atom bomb, the nuclear bomb, but the bomb that was created as a counteract to the Tsar bomba that Russia created, the largest nuclear warhead ever detonated. We created the neutron bomb. Now, the neutron bomb, it's an interesting strategic weapon because it can be scaled. Unlike the nuclear fission bombs, they can't be scaled. But with the neutron bomb, it was originally created for the idea of being able to hit the mechanized division, the tank division of Russia. At that point in time, they had the most amount of tanks in the world for the Cold War. And so if we were going to hit them, then we were going to use strategically based neutron bomb strikes, trying not to say nuclear strikes, so that we can take out their mechanized divisions. But not only that, the ability of neutrons, because they're so damaging, when they explode, they don't have the giant fireball like the nuclear bomb does, but instead the neutrons pass straight through walls, ground. They pass through pretty much anything unless you're in a deep underground military bunker. And it immediately attacks the bone marrow, the joints, the cells, the blood of any living tissue. So if it doesn't kill you immediately, within a couple of days, you're going to die anyways. But one of the goals was to do strategic saturation bombs of areas for denial purposes with neutron bombs. So the plan was to be able to have bombs that could be used as an aerial denialment, for at least, like, let's say 200 days. So for 200 days, this area would be so nuclear radioactive that you could not pass through it. So troops could not pass through it. These things have never been used, ever been used in war. I think they will be used. And Russia has them. Surrounding Moscow, if I'm correct, they have 47 or 48 of these bombs. So if you think likewise that we would use neutron bombs in our invasion, Russia would use neutron bombs as a ability for repelling. So as a last defense, these neutron bombs that are around Moscow would be used in that saturation effect to be used as a aerial denialment. And once it hits the ground, man, like everything dies. Everything dies. But the thing about it is that within about 200 to 240, 300 days, it disperses. So it doesn't linger for 1,000 years, right? So it's actually probably one of the better weapons to be used in this war. But you know, I mean, you put that on top of hypersonic missiles and you start aiming it at our allies, because what are we going to do? Are we going to everyone, you know, have a big rally, you know, in Kiev, and then we're just going to be in some big ass convoy and we're going to drive all the way to Moscow? No, we're going to do more or less a Barbarossa. And Barbarossa was a three-part mission. It's going to be the southwestern, then you would have a western, and then a northwestern invasion from St. Petersburg and then into Moscow into the southern section where all of the oil fields are, right? That's what the Nazis were doing. But what killed them, Dave? What was the number one killer? The cold.
Yeah, well, that's because they started their invasion too late. But regardless, the Russians have always practiced scorched earth, so any advancing army would have to have extended supply lines, as what happened to the Nazis, and the Russian people have been trained how to infiltrate and how to destroy supply lines. It's still part of their culture.
Not only that, but they are tenacious fighters. Tenacious. They lost over 20 million people fighting the Nazis. They are more than willing to get out there and fight.
Not one step back.
Nope.
That was Stalin's favorite saying for Stalingrad, and that's what we'll encounter too.
I think with some of the things that Lindsey Graham has mentioned lately, what a reprehensible human being he is.
Lindsey Lunacy? No.
Yeah, I've been calling for the assassination of Putin, a revolution. Well, he's telegraphing what's happening. That's what our assets are doing there now, right? Proxies of Ukraine, the CIA, they're doing that now. They are trying to have like an Antifa-like movement that would be in Russia. That's what I foresee coming. And from there, you would probably have the attempts of assassination, which would force Putin to go underground. And once Putin goes underground, I think you would very quickly then be seeing either the oligarchs being taken out or the oligarchs making agreements. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. I wanted to ask you this question, too. I'm getting repeated reports that many planes have left Moscow and they're going to the Ural Mountains, where we know they've done civil defense drills for nuclear attack.
I've heard the same thing, but I can't confirm.
I'm pretty sure it's happened. From the sources I'm getting this from, they do believe it's happened. I've asked the question, what about Putin? Unknown. But, you know, here's the deal. You know and I know Putin would have doubles, so it would really be really hard to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we probably have people on the inside, right? We probably got people on the inside. But you know, the moment we crack open this bottle of World War III, there are so many operations that are going to be happening at one time. And if everyone is not on board, that means if everyone doesn't participate, it doesn't work, right? So not only would the Europeans be involved with the major invasion into Russia, the American forces are going to be in there with Israel, and we are going to invade Iran. You and I have talked about this.
We're building a permanent base in northern Syria, so that makes perfect sense.
Yep, that's Operation Nitro Zeus, led by the Air Force. Yep, special forces and Rangers and Marines will be jumping in and traveling in amphibiously and to go out there and take out the nuclear centrifuges. And from there, let's talk about China and Taiwan. What do you have news-wise on Taiwan now?
Well, it's the same harassment. The blockade, or partial blockade, I should say, is still in effect. Chinese bombers still violate Taiwan airspace. We know that Biden told the chip manufacturers in Taiwan, you better get out. And this was over two years ago, because you got about 2 years left to get out. And we're not going to defend you. So that's what I know about Taiwan. And Taiwan's a domino. And here's what I mean by that. There's a debate I have going on with some of my military contacts. They don't agree with each other. The question is, are they going to Chinese going to invade the United States and then take Taiwan after the fact? Or are they going to take Taiwan and then take on the U.S.? If I was China, I'd launch the attack on the United States first, because then Taiwan would be an easy get.
Well, I think if this happens, that attack will be a prelude. What I think what will happen first will be a major cyber attack. DHS just recently came out and said, hey, far-right extremists are looking to target the power grid, and the FBI is out there echoing the same stupidity. So expect the power grid. Expect the power grid.
Yeah, we've been saying that all along. I mean, that's a constant in our discussions.
Yeah, it's not going to be an EMP. Not yet. Not yet. It's too easy to go out and cut cables.
China doesn't want an EMP, Doug. I'm telling you, they're not going to do an EMP. Because China wants to inhabit, they want this country whole. They don't want to have to rebuild the whole infrastructure.
Yeah, I think if they did it, it would be a strategically hit with EMP, trying to hit military bases. But, I mean, that there's your neutron bomb, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's your neutron bomb. So there's,
or
there's
just some, a simple grid takedown, Doug. Just a simple grid takedown will do it.
Oh, yeah, but who's going to be here to fight? Who's going to be here to fight? Well, let's go ahead and name them, okay? So every loony leftist that will answer the call, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, that will answer the call, and all their likewise groups, there's about five or six other relevant groups of Antifa, BLM type, and then you're going to have people who are going to be either law enforcement or military that are going to turncoat and side with China. You're going to have the, how would you say it, a citizen militia, a citizen military that rises up out of nowhere from, you know, colleges, college campuses, and people coming across the freaking border for the last year or two. You know, we got about 100,000 Chinese that have come in here. Think about this. The Battle of Bakhmut, they lost 90,000 people. 90,000 people. Okay, it was like 40,000 and 50,000. And the Ukraine was 50,000, Russia's 40,000. And we have had, within the past 3 years, we have had 16 to roughly 18 million people coming across the border that we are aware of. Just that we're aware of. Almost all men of fighting age. You think that's not a big enough force to systematically link up, take over Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, Dallas, Fort Worth?
Yeah, I'm laughing at this, and here's why. I got laughed at when I had a Texas Ranger come forward, high ranking, and people said, oh, this guy's either drunk or Dave's making it up. And he approached me, and this is in the first Central American invasion. And this is when ISIS was being linked to Hamas, Hezbollah, and the cartels. And they had that encampment 8 miles across the border from El Paso. And I know you know all that, but here's my point. The Texas Ranger said, we can't defend against these people with light infantry tactics that comes into mid-sized towns. Mid-sized to small towns. And he said that if we're dealing with this mentality, they won't be coming just to occupy. They'll be coming to exterminate. Mm-hmm. And that was his biggest fear. People aren't laughing anymore.
Well, Jade Helm.
Yeah. Well, they practiced this in Jade Helm.
Yeah, they did. 80% of the 80% of the Chinese military said that they were completely okay with executing, liquidating is what they called it in Germany, executing women and children in Italy. So, and, you know, hey, let's throw in the other factor that everyone loves to make fun of us, but no one is laughing anymore, FEMA camps. What happens
well,
then?
Jade Helm practiced that. Remember the Walmart's, gosh, where was it, Odessa? And they were near the railroad tracks and all the modifications they made on the buildings. They look like FEMA camps to me. So I totally agree with you. Jade Helm was a rehearsal for what's happening now.
Yeah.
Do you know the other thing they practiced against in Jade Helm? And I'm going to give you pretty close to a quote. Disaffected ex-military American guerrilla soldiers. In other words, military that gone rogue against the prevailing authority that were selling this country out.
The NDAA. The NDAA Act that happened in the 1940s. What did we do? We targeted Japanese Americans. We targeted Japanese Americans. No due process. We rounded up as many as possible. Put them in concentration camps. And then after a period of years, they released them. Oh, sorry. My bad. So we've proven before that we would do this, right? And now I would say we're much more efficient. We're much more efficient. And not only are we more efficient at putting together FEMA camps and rounding people up, but I think the mindset of Americans to turn on Americans is probably the most fruitful it's ever been. You have more people now who agree with communism, socialism, white supremacy, Americans are bad, the military's bad, law enforcement's evil, and these are your domestic violent extremists. Not far right, they're all far left. Okay, you got problems in the right, I'll admit that. But for the majority, from my experience, has always been from the left. Okay, so these are the people Obama said would be the next army. Just as big, just as powerful, and just as well funded.
Yep. There you go.
And Obama's back in charge via Biden.
Obama held a meeting at the UN after Trump was in power with 17 foreign nations. First of all, that's a felony. You can't negotiate foreign policy as a private citizen. But nonetheless, he was plotting against America right then.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, currently, Iran is now going to be what the second in command for the UN. And I think it's one of the leaders of Spain is now supposed to be the next president, right? The next president for the UN, and Spain's communist.
Yeah, exactly. Did you know, too, that the World Health Organization put North Korea on their board of governors?
Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. You remember when Saudi Arabia was, like, openly killing people left and right, especially gays? And then they had an online job application to be an executioner for beheadings. And the UN put them in charge of, like, all humanitarian relief. Yeah. Right? So, you know, I mean, like, when you say the UN, I don't care what the movies make them sound like. They're not for us. They're not for us. The UN has agreements with Obama and all of his cronies to come here and disarm America. They have, through the Kigali principles, they have the ability to project a military might should China involve themselves. Now, once again, I've said this before, but I think you take down the power grid in America, you let us fester, you let us kill each other. Crime, obviously, is the least of your concerns now. And then you start to add a couple little biological agents here and there. You start to pick up a little bit of the electricity being turned back on here and there. We're going to look like Hunger Games all over again. And God knows what's going to happen to the border. I mean, Border Patrol is not going to show up every day if the lights aren't coming on and people are killing each other next door, right? Police aren't going to show up. We've had those conversations, Dave. We've had those conversations.
Hurricane Katrina, it took 3 days for the police to walk off the job.
That's right. So very quickly, this internal domestic fighting force, this internal security force, which is really what law enforcement has been evolved into, it will dissipate besides the major cities where communication is constant. But, you know, I mean, it will dissipate. Hopefully the sheriff's departments, your local sheriff's departments will be able to, you know, still keep some sort of control. But when you can't get, you know, the stuff you need for vehicle maintenance, when you can't refill the vehicles anymore, what are you going to do? Go on horseback? You know, I mean, I don't see that happening. Some places will, but not everybody knows how to ride a horse. I haven't rode a horse in over 10 years. So I don't think I'll say this. We are just about as ready to invade Ukraine and deal with those circumstances as we are to deal with the circumstances of a massive cyber attack. And then what happens afterwards? Because we don't have a plan for any of it. That's been the problem from the EMP Commission since 2012 when Dr. Peter Vincent Pry was leading it. We don't have a plan of action. We haven't hardened the grid. We don't have 7 years worth of wheat and rice stored anymore. Half of your water right now is poisoned. Half your water. Now, here's another problem. With all the other different diseases that are being spread throughout the animal kingdom in America, if you intend to go hunting, oh, that's going to be a problem.
Are you talking about chronic wasting disease?
Well, chronic wasting disease. How about mad cow? How about mad cow within the cattle?
They're related. Same cause of death. The prions go south on you.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we have too many unanswered questions. And us within the general public no more have access to the government to be able to say, here's my concerns, give me responses. I challenge any of you to write down any of the concerns we've had so far in this program and write your congressman or your senator and say, I want responses to these concerns.
You'll never hear from them.
You'll never hear from them. For one thing, they won't answer you. Two, they won't know what to say. Or they'll say,
well, they're so compartmentalized, Doug. This is something I've had some discussions with people connected to congressmen, staffers. They tell me they listen to my show because I'm not compartmentalized. Their bosses are compartmentalized, and they don't know jack squat about 90% of what you and I talk about. And I'm talking to your average congressperson.
Well, your average congressperson is AOC.
So. Well, she's dumber than a box of rocks.
I wouldn't insult the rocks like that.
Okay, how about this? Her IQ is lower than room temperature.
I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's an absolute embarrassment. We're. Let me. Before we leave, I'll say it like this. Within the next year, be prepared to go back to 1800s lifestyle and the violence that was there with it.
I've been told 1870 is what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about anywhere from muskets to old saloon gunfights, hatchet attacks. You know, the people who would you know, be on the side of the road waiting for you, the highwaymen, right? These things will come back. They're here already. Right, they're just not in the flux that they will be. People, robbers will be waiting for robbers to rob them. This was the Old West. This is why men like Wyatt Earp had a certain stance on law enforcement, and I kind of agree with it. Not everybody's going to agree with it, right? But at some point in time, when you have lost control, civilly lost control, and you have to enforce law, this is what happens with that swinging of the pendulum. When you go too far left like Biden has done, and you've neutered law enforcement, what comes next is the extreme right side of that pendulum, and you get Judge Dredd. God forbid. That's all I can say. God forbid that happens. If you don't own a gun and you don't do training with a gun, you're not in good physical shape, you haven't prepared financially, you haven't stored up food, all right? My Patriot Supply, The Common Sense Show, go through us, get your food. Noble Gold, go through them, get what you can while you can. But I suggest to everybody, it needs to be on hand, or it doesn't count at that point in time, you know? And you got to understand this other thing. Precious metals is going to also include bullets. This president, this administration, as quickly as they can, is going to ban guns. And now there's a cardinal from the Catholic Church saying that we should all give up our Second Amendment for peace and safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, peace, safety, and the end card will be extermination at the hands of the Chinese. Yeah, you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've given you a lot to think about tonight. He's Doug Thornton of American Vindicta. I'm Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show, and together we form the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And you got a good dose tonight, and it is what it is. And it's just not going to change. Train, prep, and pray, as my colleague Doug often says, and he's absolutely right. Doug, I hope we awaken some people and motivate them to action. If not, enjoy your Biden breadline. To that, we'll bid adieu. Thanks, Doug, and we'll talk to you later.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.